Get ready. You're about to listen to Media Bootcamp Express, a free taster of Media Bootcamp with Sue White and Ginger Gorman.
Hello, I'm Sue White.
And I'm Ginger Gorman.
Welcome to Media Bootcamp Express. Now don't worry, you're going to get your jam-packed free lessons in a few minutes. But before we start, Ginger and I thought we'd take a few moments just to tell you why we're here and how this whole thing started. We are both working journalists, and between us we have 40, yes, horrific but true, 40 years experience working in the media. We're also good friends, and a while ago we realised that we were each constantly being asked for advice by people like you. People wanted to know how to excite the media about their upcoming event or a new product, or they were trying to figure out who to contact if they wanted to get a story on radio. They often would even pitch us ideas that we knew weren't going to get taken up because we knew that they didn't meet the basic requirements of what journalists, editors, and producers are looking for. Then, of course, we had people coming up to us when we were speaking at conferences or on panels, and they were freaking out about being in front of the camera or behind the microphone and telling us their tales of woe about what went wrong in their last interview.
We decided to do something about it. We first began answering all these questions and dozens more through our face-to-face media bootcamp and Nail the Interview trainings. They were a hit. People loved learning from us because we know what's happening right now on the inside of journalism. We taught them how to nail an interview and how to know the kinds of stories that the media cares about. The thing with the media is that it's changing all the time. What was a smart plan 10 years ago, 5 years ago, or in some cases even 2 years ago, just doesn't work now. We quickly realised that the best people to answer all the questions about dealing with the media were, no surprise, people on the inside. And that's us. We are living and breathing the world of media every single day. Even though our face-to-face courses were an instant success and we still do run those, we realised too that there were lots of you who couldn't get to us in person. So we've spent 8 months getting our online course right.
I have to say, I was slightly naive about the process of building an online course. I thought it would be pretty easy, to be honest, especially as we knew that our face-to-face courses were really helping people and that those customers were really happy. But it's been intense, mostly because we wanted to get it right. We decided up front to invest both the time and the money to do this thing well. First, we worked intensively with an online curriculum specialist to understand how to ensure a course that was awesome in person was also helpful to someone listening at home. Then we developed a workbook with exercises to help you cement every single lesson in the course by taking practical action. Eventually, it was time to make it real. We spent 3 days recording all 4.5 hours of the course under studio conditions. Because we know our students are busy people, we've made sure that that content is not just immensely valuable, but it's devoid of fluff. We wanted to make sure that every single minute of our students' precious listening time would be well spent. Finally, we had not one but two sound engineers pull it apart to ensure that the final result is a gorgeous listening experience. Honestly, I am exhausted even now just thinking about it. But I'm happy too, because I know that what we've produced is not just good, it's really great.
Of course, we would say that. We're as proud of Media Bootcamp Online as we are of our face-to-face offerings. But we also realise that you don't know us yet. Why would you take our word for it that this course can change things for you? We started talking a lot about this and trying to figure out how we can let people know this course is super useful and that we know our stuff. Our editors know it. They commission us to write and produce for some of Australia's major publications every week. And other media know it too. We're often interviewed ourselves talking about current stories or offering advice on our respective areas of expertise. But you? Well, you may not know any of that. We kicked around all sorts of ideas and eventually we thought, you know what? Let's not waste anyone's time and let's be generous. Let's just give people some of the course for free. We know the course is our best work, our top tips and real life advice that will be the key to you successfully selling your story to the media or nailing your next interview. So we've created Media Bootcamp Express to let you try and learn before you buy. Coming up, we've picked three lessons from the full Media Bootcamp that we think will each, on their own, give you tons of great value. You're going to learn, yes, for free, what the media considers a story, what goes into a media kit, and how to choose the right outfit for TV. And I can tell you from personal experience, having appeared on TV looking atrocious, this is really important for your confidence and for getting your interview right. When you enrolled in Media Bootcamp Express, you'll also have accessed a mini workbook with activities to accompany each lesson, the same lessons as are in our real course. You'll even hear what you're missing. Sometimes in these audios, you might notice we refer to what else we've learned or what's coming up next in the real course. That's because the whole of Media Bootcamp Express comes directly from our real course. Three of the 30-odd lessons from the full Media Bootcamp for free.
Of course, if you find it useful, you know what we'd like you to do next. Sign up for the full Media Bootcamp. Before you do, it's really easy to see what each module covers. Just follow the links to the course and you'll find short videos overviewing each module. You'll also be able to see the full list of lessons that we cover in the course. Media Bootcamp runs 24/7, 365 days a year. You can start anytime you like, move at your own pace, and go back and listen again whenever you want to. But for now, let's get started with your free taster course, Media Bootcamp Express. Enjoy!
You're listening to Media Bootcamp Express. Coming up, what does the media consider a story? With Ginger Gorman.
Hi there, Ginger with you. You've just heard from Sue about how important it is to build relationships. In this last part of the module, we're going to look at what the media considers to be a story. And often that might be different from what you personally consider to be a story, although hopefully not after this lesson. It's really important to know what the media considers a story, and here's why. If you get it wrong, you end up thinking the why behind how the media chooses a story is a total mystery. It's like you're taking a stab in the dark and hoping that you'll hit something. So what you really need to do is understand what makes your news story newsworthy, especially according to those media professionals we've just talked about. So the journalists and editors in print and online, and the producers in radio and TV. When you understand what the media considers to be a story, it's fantastic. Imagine if every time it was easy to work out whether something was a story or not, and whether it's actually worth putting the effort into creating it in the first place. This kind of knowledge could also help you determine in advance how to come up with something the media will find interesting. Just imagine if you could think like the media experts do. That's exactly what we're aiming for. There are really two keys to achieving this understanding. The first is that you need to know what the media considers a story, and the second is you need to know what news values are. So I'm going to talk you through both these things, and I'm going to teach you how to define and determine the newsworthiness of your potential stories. I'll just ask you now to possibly pause the audio and grab your workbook and go to activity 1.4.1, and then I'm going to start to explain what news values are and why they are so important. So grab a pen, grab your workbook, and it's activity 1.4.1. Broadly speaking, there are a number of news values that journalists and editors use to decide if they want to follow a story. The first is impact or broad appeal, events that affect many people. The second one is timeliness or immediacy, and this is the new in the word news. And news obviously gets out of date very, very quickly. The third one is prominence. So stories involving well-known people, places, companies, groups, especially celebrities. Proximity or closeness to home. These are events occurring in the newspaper circulation area or the broadcast area of a radio station or TV station, and they are most likely to be of interest. Conflict.
These are stories about people or organisations which are at odds with each other, and we've all seen those stories. They're in the newspapers and on radio and TV all the time. The sixth one is bizarre or out of the ordinary. I personally love this news value, and a lot of my stories revolve around this. This is what deviates sharply from what you would expect an experience of everyday life. So something that wouldn't be normal in everyday life. It's unusual, it's strange, it's wacky. The seventh news value is currency or flavour of the month. So these are events and situations that are currently in the news or are being talked about a lot right now. Just very quickly, let me give you a hypothetical situation. Someone tries to blow up the iconic Sydney Harbour Bridge. Which news values does it cover? So does it have impact or broad appeal? Yes, it does, because the Sydney Harbour Bridge is very iconic and it would affect a lot of people. Is it timely or immediate? Yes, it is. It's happened. It's just happened. Is it prominent? Yes, it is, because the Sydney Harbour Bridge is a very iconic place. Everybody knows it. It's always on postcards and so forth. Proximity or closeness to home? This really depends where you live. If you're Australian, like me, yes, it would definitely have a closeness to home. Conflict? This really depends on why it happened. So perhaps if it was a terrorist attack, yes, it might involve conflict. Bizarre or out of the ordinary? Perhaps something like a terrorist attack is getting a little less bizarre, sadly, but it is quite strange still. And currency, flavour of the month? Yes, possibly that value too. So you can see how the news values might apply to a story. And a very quick way that we can understand the news values is actually used in the newsroom all the time, and we call it head, heart, hip pocket. So if you very quickly want to look at a story and say, does it affect my head? Does it affect my heart? Does it affect my hip pocket? You can see that something might be newsworthy or not. And often journalists and editors use that very quick way to determine if something is a story or not. I want you to turn now to activity 1.4.2 in your workbook, and we're going to look through some examples of real news stories and apply the news values that you've just learnt to those news stories. So the first one is headlined, North Korea fires second missile over Japan as US tells China and Russia to take direct action. So this was a very frightening thing to happen. Everybody was worried about the possible start of World War III. And it's really a head story, isn't it? It's one that makes us think, although arguably a heart story too, because a lot of people were quite afraid. Let's look at the news values now. So does this have impact or broad appeal? Yes. Is it timely and immediate? Yes, it is. Is it prominent? Yes, especially because Kim Jong-un, the North Korean leader, is a very prominent figure and he's often in the news, often for all the wrong reasons. Proximity or closeness to home? Look, this is an international story, including near neighbours of Australia like Japan, and it also stretched to the US, China, Russia. So it affected everybody. So I would say proximity, yes. Conflict, yes, obviously. Bizarre or out of the ordinary? Yes, it's definitely out of the ordinary to fire a missile over Japan. And currency, flavour of the month? Yes. I mean, I don't think anyone would argue that North Korea has been in the news a lot. So that one ticks almost every news value that you can think of. The next story we're going to look at is very, very different. In fact, it couldn't be more different. This is about the wedding of Prince William and Kate Middleton in the UK in 2011. And let's just pretend for a moment that it was 2011 right now and it was happening right now. Does this tick the head, heart, or hip pocket, do you think? I think this is a heart story, isn't it? Personally, I don't really care about the royal family, but lots of people do, and lots of people found this very, very moving. So this is a story that had impact. It was timely. It also had prominence because Kate Middleton is a very prominent person. People love to read about her. It also had proximity because the British royal family is the Australian royal family. So if you live in Australia, you would think that this was close to home, even though, in fact, the UK is very far away. Conflict, not so much. So that one probably doesn't count. Bizarre or out of the ordinary? Yes. Currency or flavour of the month? Yes. So even though this is a very different story, you can see how many news values apply to it. Once again, the next news story is a very strange one. The next example, example three, is about an Australian teen bitten by thousands of sea lice. And I do need to warn you that this one is a little bit gory. There was a video with this story, but it was actually also written about quite a bit. So let's have a look at this story. This poor lad was bitten by thousands of sea lice and he had blood all over him. Does this have impact or broad appeal? Possibly, but I don't think so, really. Is it timely? Yes, it is, because it's just happened. Is it prominent? Not really. Does it have proximity? Yes, because this happened in Australia. So if you're Australian, it does have proximity. It doesn't really have conflict, but it is a bit bizarre or out of the ordinary. And mainly that's what this story is. It's so weird that we want to read about it. Currency or flavour of the month? Not so much. So it really only fits three news values, but still, it's a story that we would want to read about because it's wacky. And we feel sorry for this poor kid. And I think probably this is a heart story, isn't it? The last story is a much more serious story again. The last story is titled Global Banking System Not Safe. And in the story, it links back to the 2007-2008 financial crisis. So we can see immediately that this is a hip pocket story, isn't it? And then if we think about the news values that apply to this, it's impact. So number one, timeliness. Number two, prominence. Number three, because the Bank of England former governor is an important person and he's also a Lord, Lord King. So that gives him prominence and it gives his title prominence and proximity. So this is something that affected everybody, the global financial crisis. So we care about it. And that's probably all for this story. So now you understand how the news values work and what they are. We've come to the end of module one. You should now have a really good grasp of what today's media environment looks like, who the key players are for you if you're trying to sell your story, and the beginning of an idea of what those people are looking for in your pitches. And lastly, a good understanding of the news values and what makes a story interesting to media professionals.
You're listening to the Free Media Bootcamp Express with Sue White and Ginger Gorman. Up next, what goes into your media kit with Sue White.
Hi, it's Sue again, continuing our chat about media kits. Now, we're going to outline each component of a media kit in more depth, as I said, in the coming lessons. But what we wanted to do is give you a short, sharp explanation just as an overview of what goes into a media kit overall. So that's what this lesson is all about, just to remind you of exactly what goes into it, and your detail on how each one can help you is going to come up in future lessons. As I've mentioned in the previous lesson, a media kit is a set of supporting material for your story. It can contain, and there's no particular order to this, but mostly it contains four things: images, bios, a backgrounder, and a media release. So let's just have a quick definition of what each of those might be for. Images, obviously, beautiful photos are really helpful for most stories. Even sometimes if you're on a radio story, they might still want an image from you to put the story up on their website. So images pay off, and it's really worth having fantastic images to support your event, your company, the speakers that you're offering up as talent. You'll probably need a whole range of them. Now, Ginger's going to go into quite a bit of depth about images, but just bear that in mind. Images do speak 1,000 words, particularly in the current media environment. You want to make sure that you have access to some. Now, a bio is basically a short synopsis about you, your event, or the activity that you're promoting, or the company that you're promoting. We think these come in a few different shapes and sizes. I like to do them in 25, 50 word and 100 to 150 word batches. Bios are so useful, and they're one thing that people start off and they think, oh, I don't know if I really need that. But once you have it, you use a bio for so many different things. You will find probably that if you follow my lesson that's coming up on bios, you too will be converted to the value of them. The third thing that might go into your media kit is a backgrounder. Now, Remember we did that test about are you getting asked for stats and figures and you're asked for information that's in all different places? Well, all of that can compile into one place. A backgrounder is really usually a one-page document, sometimes a bit longer, but really just a one-page document with all those pertinent facts and statistics in one spot. So you could start preparing this in advance. But again, I'm going to give you a lot more tips on that in a future lesson. Just remember that backgrounders, I think, have quite a lot of value for where you'll be at. And then the fourth component is a press release or a media release. Now, these one page, usually one page, again, sometimes they creep over to two. We like one page. Pieces are almost your story in a nutshell. I'm going to leave it to Ginger to talk you through media releases, whether you need them, whether we like them, when they can be useful. But it is really important to know that these have tended to form the backbone of a media kit. There's certainly some things you want to think about when you're using media releases in the current media environment, but we definitely think it's worth you understanding them and deciding when and if you want to use them. Now, before I wrap up this lesson, I'd like you to turn back to your workbook to activity 3.2. And the header there is, what is a media kit and do you need one? Now, we've talked a little bit about that, but what this exercise is going to get you to do is to rate your existing items on a scale of 1 to 10. If you haven't paused the audio and have your workbook ready, then do that now and come back to me when you're ready to sit and give yourself some ratings. Okay, so you can see here that we've covered each of those four items, and what we want you to do is think about if you already have that on file. Now, the 0 to 10 rating, 1 to 10, 0 is really bad. Maybe 0 is non-existent. You actually really need to create it from scratch, whereas 1 is, look, it's here, but it's almost as bad as having nothing. If you give yourself a 10, it means you've already got this nailed. You already have a backgrounder with relevant facts and statistics collated into one page. Brilliant. Give yourself a 10. If you have a media release for your upcoming event and you're really happy with it, especially after you listen to Ginger's talk about what goes into the media releases, well, great. Give yourself a 10. Or if you think that you have the guts of one that you might be able to rework for something different, maybe give yourself a 5 and you can use that as a template to recreate one for whatever's coming up. Perhaps with professional quality photos, you have some of the photos you need, but not all of the photos. Well, I'd probably rank that a 5. But if your photos are, you know, just taken by your mum, then probably I'm going to rate them a 1, because unless your mum's a photographer, those photos probably aren't going to be good enough for what media need. And again, Ginger will talk you through that in the upcoming lessons. Bios, I'm going to come back and talk about bios, but maybe you're right across them. Maybe you've been asked to give bios in a different context. You might have spoken at a conference and someone asked you to write a 100-word bio about yourself or about the topic. Well, it's possible that that's already ready to go. Excellent. Then you've saved yourself some work. If you don't have it yet, then give yourself a 0 and we'll be working on that together in an upcoming lesson. Okay, let's get to the guts of all those items. I'm going to let Ginger take over next and she's going to talk about the importance of images as part of your media kit.
You're listening to the Free Media Bootcamp Express with Sue White and Ginger Gorman. Up next, how to choose the right outfit for TV with Ginger Gorman.
Hello, it's Ginger. One of the things a lot of our clients get really stressed about is appearing on TV. And like we've said in previous modules, appearing on TV is not brain surgery. You just have to imagine it's radio with cameras and you have to concentrate on the presenter. But one thing you've got in television that you don't have in other mediums is that people can see you. And in fact, how you look and what you wear is really important. And that is not because it's a fashion parade. It's because you want people to concentrate on what you are saying and not be distracted by what you're wearing. Just as an example, I'll tell you a story from my own life, which was that
I was asked to appear on quite a well-known current affairs program, and I had no idea at this stage. It was quite a while ago in terms of my career, and I had no idea what to wear. And so I had just had a baby. I wore what I considered to be quite a nice formal dress. It was a black dress, and I actually didn't put much makeup on. Big mistake. I appeared enormous. I looked much, much fatter than I am in real life. And because I didn't have any makeup on, I looked incredibly washed out. I got some really nasty online comments about how I looked, and it was a real shame because people basically concentrated on that rather than the interview I was doing. And it was such a bad experience that I've never, ever done it again. And I really do concentrate on what I wear. And so I would recommend the same for you if you are about to appear on television. If you don't concentrate on what you wear, it can really be the downfall of your interview. You can really pay the price for that. But on the other hand, if you do have a sensible outfit for television and you know exactly what to wear and you've got an outfit ready to go, it will ensure that audiences focus on what you're saying and not how you look. And I'm sure you can agree that that is really important. Otherwise, what's the point of doing the interview in the first place? So how can you achieve this? I'd ask you now to have a look at activity 5.6 in your workbook. So you might want to pause the audio and grab a pen. And this is really about choosing some outfits that you already have or even buying some new ones so that you have an outfit or two for television that are ready to go. I've actually done this myself. When I started getting asked on television a lot, I went out to buy some jackets. I've got a green jacket and an orange jacket in particular that I always wear on television. I want you to start thinking about what you already have in your wardrobe that might work for television. And I'm going to go through a whole load of do's and don'ts for TV outfits. You might want to take some notes as well. And then we're going to think about your own wardrobe and what you can wear that you already have, or perhaps what you might even need to buy if you're going to start doing television interviews all the time. What makes a good outfit? So as I've said, you really need to think about what you're going to wear and how you present to the public. And there are real specifics about what you should and shouldn't wear. Do pay great attention to what you wear. I would suggest for both men and women, you need to wear makeup. Now, I know men laugh at me when I say this, but I have a friend, a male friend, who is an expert in his field. I kept telling him to get powder for his nose because he kept appearing on television. He never did that. And then the last time he appeared on a very prominent TV program, he rang me in hysterics because his nose was so shiny on television. If the television studio doesn't provide you with makeup, you need to ask. So sometimes you'll turn up and they have a makeup person there, but more often than not, you'll need to provide something yourself. And for women, you really need more makeup than you would in everyday life because the fluorescent cameras actually wash you out quite a bit. In terms of what colours to wear, blue and pastel colours are great for television. And if you're a woman or a man that likes to wear jewellery, bold and simple jewellery is best. So anything that's really shiny does not work on television and will be distracting. Wear jackets and separates. Now, I would recommend this for men and women. Structured materials are best for television. They are the most flattering. And also, what usually happens on television is that they put a little lapel microphone on you. And if you have a jacket, it's really easy to put it on. But if you have a dress, you might find a producer with a hand up the back of your dress, which is very uncomfortable, of course, because they're trying to put your lapel microphone on. So separates are better for television. With men, it's a good idea to have your shirt cuffs showing a few centimetres below your jacket sleeves. Overall, as Sue has already said, conservative clothing can be better for television. Now, here are the big don'ts. So imagine this in flashing neon lights. Don't wear red, white, or black. They just don't work for television. Don't wear stripes, herringbone, close checks, or intricate designs. What happens if you wear these kinds of patterns is that they strobe on television and it looks awful and it's very distracting. Don't wear shiny jewelry or jangly jewelry, as I've said. For men and women, but mainly men, don't wear really shiny hair products. And I don't like logos, so I think logos on television are incredibly distracting as well. Lastly, the big don't is don't have a shiny nose. Everybody needs powder. I can't say that enough. And even if you're a bloke and you feel a bit awkward about that, I still recommend it. So now looking at activity 5.6, you can see there we've listed three spots for you to put three outfits there. So scribble down with that list I've just given you in mind, some appropriate outfits for television. And then I want you to go through each outfit and give a tick or a cross. Do you have makeup? Is it blue, green, or pastel? Is it a bright color? That's okay, but not the ones listed in our don't list below. Just give a tick or a cross for each of the outfits you've found. And by the end of that activity, if you tick and cross all the boxes, you should be clear about how your wardrobe will fare when it comes to your next TV interview. Do you have enough appropriate clothing and makeup for your next television interview? I hope you do, but if you don't, I would really recommend going out and buying some appropriate clothing if you don't think you've got something that's going to work on television. In this lesson, we've covered what you should and shouldn't wear on TV, and this is essentially just because you want people to focus on what you're saying and not what you're wearing. A very well-known identity that Sue and I both have had a laugh about always wears a big tiger jumper on television. And although I love this tiger jumper, I will tell you that I cannot remember a word of what he says because it's so distracting. So don't be that person. Have a great outfit that looks good, feels good, and isn't distracting for people watching you on TV. Next, we're going to show you how a good and bad interview can look in reality so that you can put all your knowledge from this module into practice.
Media Bootcamp Express.
You're finished with Media Bootcamp Express. We really hope it's been useful and that it's given you a great taster of what the full Media Bootcamp can offer you. Remember, in the full course, there are almost 30 lessons like this. That's over 4.5 hours of practical, no fluff content.
To help you sell your story to the media, we've got lessons on choosing the right platform for your story, on who to build relationships with, on how to pitch your story and what makes a good or bad pitch, and much, much more. We'll also teach you how to nail your next interview with lessons on how TV, radio, print, and online interviews are different, and how to predict what a journalist will ask. Also, how to deal with those really tricky, inevitable questions. There's so much in there. We're pretty confident we've left no stone unturned.
To sign up for the full Media Bootcamp, head to our website. That's www.mediabootcamp.com.au. www.mediabootcamp.com.au. Or follow links from wherever you found Media Bootcamp Express. Media Bootcamp runs 24/7, 365 days a year. You can start anytime you like, move at your own pace, and go back and listen again whenever you wish. We hope to see you there, but either way, all the best with shining in the media spotlight. Bye.
Bye for now.
You've been listening to Media Bootcamp Express with Sue White and Ginger Gorman. To buy the full course, head to www.mediabootcamp.com.au. Or follow the links wherever you found this free taster course.